Praise God. The definition of compromise. To compromise, it says, an adjustment for settlement by arbitration and mutual concession, usually involving a partial surrender of purposes or principles. I read it again. The meaning, the English meaning of the word compromise is an adjustment for settlement by arbitration and mutual concession, usually involving a partial surrender of purposes or principles. What is it to compromise? To compromise is to give off a little or more to accommodate the other interests. Amen. If you stay on your own principle, then the other interests will be affected. So, you want to accommodate the other interest, and the only way you can accommodate the other interest is for you to give off part of your principle to be able to accommodate. That is the meaning of compromise. That is give and take. Give to be able to take. Give off to be able to take. Praise the Lord. And truly, life generally is based on giving and taking. If you have to live peacefully in your environment, wherever you are, if you want to fit in anywhere, generally speaking, you have to give off. You have to compromise a little bit of your principles to be able to accommodate others. That is in life generally. But in Christianity, it is dangerous to compromise your faith. Praise the Lord. In Christianity, I say, it is dangerous to compromise your Christian faith. To give up your Christian principle to accommodate some other interests that are contrary to Christian principles, it is dangerous. A Christian is supposed to be a non-compromiser or a non-conformist. You don't compromise your faith for anything. If you do that, church, Christians, all over the world, it is dangerous. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The first human being that compromised on this earth was Adam. Adam compromised, and it has landed us like this. Adam, where art thou? He compromised. Adam is the first human being on earth that compromised. How did he compromise? Amen. If Adam did not compromise the word of God, we will not be in the condition that we are in now. Eve did not compromise, so Eve disobeyed. Eve, her own was disobedience. But Adam, his own, was compromise. How? The law of God is that if your wife leaves you to go and meet another man, if she come back, you should not accept her again. That's in the Bible. Jeremiah, open it. They say, verse 1. They say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Where was that spoken? Deuteronomy 24. Go to Deuteronomy 24. When a man has taken a wife and married her, And it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her. Then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, that's the first one, we sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife, after that she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord. It's abomination. That's where I'm going. Adam knew that law. He knew it all. He knew it. He knew everything that pertained to this law. He was not supposed to take her back as a wife. Love for the woman Eve made him to compromise that law and still stick to her. That's why all of us are suffering till today. He compromised. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the act of that compromise made Adam to bring about mixing of seed. Mixing of seed. Praise the Lord. Mixing of seed. Adam made it possible for the seed of the serpent to mix with the true seed of Adam. The mixture today produced death. That's why we see in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. The woman there, that parable, that took leaven and mixed leaven, yeast, mixed it with 3 measures of meal. 3 measures of meal there. Justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. A woman, a church, took wrong doctrine, false doctrine, mixed it with the true word, the true meal. What did it produce? He said, the whole meal, the 3 measures of meal were corrupted. That is why Jude verse 3 says, we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Don't mix it. They mixed it, and all the years in Christianity, see what it has produced. See the type of Christianity that has produced. The word of God mixed with man-made doctrines. What will it produce? This is what we are seeing now in Christianity today. Why? It came about through compromise. We know the story of what happened in AD 325, that popular Nicene Council meeting, the meeting in Nicaea, there in Rome, where believers had to have a meeting with the two groups, the false church and the true church. They were fighting based on doctrines. And the enmity was so strong. The argument, the disagreement was so strong. And General, Constantine, Emperor Constantine, the emperor at that time, when Satan gave him that devilish dream, that with the sign of the cross, he will conquer. It was not God that gave him. He decided to recognize the God of the Christians and decided to add that God to the number of gods they already had in Rome. Amen. You know, Constantine is a perfect type of believer, some believers in this age. An unbeliever that has a problem runs to the church, and under anointing the problem is solved. Then he said, so this Jesus is real. And therefore, he decides to start going to church in addition to the nightclub life that he or she are living. He decides, I will not just drop this Jesus. He has been so good. Now he give me husband. Now he heal me. Now he give me breakthrough. Now he deliver me. So I will also be going to church now. So I can go to the church and sing praises to God. And go to the nightclub also and sing. Ah, we don't leave this Jesus. He's so good. That was Constantine the emperor. And his own contribution to Christianity to have peace. He called the two warring factions of Christianity together and decided, look, let us come to agreement. What did I define? Compromise. He said it usually involves a partial surrender of purposes or principles. Surrender your own small. Surrender your own small. He said it is during arbitration. Arbitration is somebody standing to settle a matter. Arbitration is a legal terminology. So General Titus came, and the two warring factions came for arbitration. What happens? Give up a little of your own. Give up a little so that we are one. We are all Christians. You have your agreement. I have my agreement. You are Sele. You are Catholic. You are Methodist. You are Anglican. We are Pentecostals. We have one thing in common. Jesus. Why don't we come together as one and form Christian Association of Nigeria? It is a result of a compromising stand. That produced that leaven that was injected into those three measures of meal. The three works of grace: justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was a product of the spirit of compromise. And you know what that has landed today. What is Trinity? Trinity is a continuation of the Roman idolatrous tendencies to have as many gods as possible. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Co-equal, co-this, co-that, co-this, co-that. He was never three in Israel. He has never been three. He has always been one. Show me Trinity in the Old Testament. Nothing like that. It is after that 325 AD that doctrine came into the church because of compromise. You see? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God expects you to stand where the word of God stands. He does not expect us to compromise his principles. He hates mixture. God hates it. God hates mixture. Church, God hates it. He told the children of Israel that they should not intermarry. Don't intermarry. Why did he say don't intermarry? I think Genesis 6 or so. When the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. What happened? They went and took for them wives from the daughters of men. You know, it's referring to the lineage of Cain. Fine girls there, the children of Adam, children of Seth, they saw fine girls there. Instead of marrying from the lineage, their own lineage, they cross over to those serpent seeds. And what happened? They cross seeds. What happened? Destruction, rebellion, everything like that. Church, God hates it. That is why he said, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. In marriage is number one yoke. Number one yoke. If you leave now and go and marry somebody who is not a Christian, which religion will be your children? You see? They are neither here nor here. The husband is struggling with you. When you tell her about Christ, the husband will come later and tell her about Guru Maharaj. So the children grow up no spiritual bearing. God hates it. God hates it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And each time you disobey God, you are going into destruction when you mingle these seeds. Samson compromised. A great man like that went to a Philistine woman. If he had gone to a Jewish woman, will he have fallen the way he fell? Solomon, with all his wisdom, Solomon, he went marrying from those unbelievers. Several of them. Where did his wisdom lead him to? To destruction. And listen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to know who even naturally a man is, is to look at his stand when it comes to the issue of women. There are men that are feared by the whole world. Fear. When you see them, hey, an auntie, hey. But reach home, when he sees, if you want to bring him down, bring one young girl before him. He's going to shake. This man, where they, everybody they fear, that young girl will come and say, you just say the president for nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the truth. Ministers of God all over the world. You hear, anytime you hear that a minister has fallen, it's a woman. There's a woman behind it. So anointed. But when it comes to a woman, he's finished. Solomon, in all his wisdom and all his wealth, it was a woman that brought him down. He compromised that principle that you should not mix intermarriage. Don't intermarry. Israel always paid for it. Each time they did that. Why? God hates it. God hates it. That is the principle of God that is demonstrated, that you should not mix. Don't mix. Compromise is the spirit that permits you to mix good and bad together. Compromise is the spirit, the compromising spirit is the spirit that we refuse you to have an identity. The spirit of compromise is the spirit of a chameleon. Chameleon! Can you tell the color of a chameleon? Eh? Chameleon spirit! Ah! May you not have a chameleon spirit. You fit in everywhere. Eh? Where unbelievers are dancing masquerade dance, you sabi and pass them. When they are sitting down and talking all the nonsense people in the world talk, you know it past them. When they are drinking palm wine in the village, you know the correct one and the fake one. You are a chameleon. You are a chameleon. When Two-Face, that's his name. Two-Face is playing any music by Two-Face. You know the lyrics more than Two-Face himself. And when we are singing Amazing Grace, oh, you know it very well. You are a chameleon. That is the spirit of compromise. You are a chameleon. Chameleon. Ask your neighbor. What do you mean? Deuteronomy chapter 22. Let me bring us something from that scripture we quote every time. Deuteronomy chapter 22. We know it as a scripture. We quote it here, we as ministers and believers of the end time message. Verse 5. Are we there? Verse 5. He said, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. The question is, why will God descend and say, woman, don't don't dress like a man. Man, don't dress like a woman. It's a principle he's bringing up. If you are a man, look like a man. Act like a man. Dress like a man. If you are a woman, stand, talk like a woman. Walk like a woman. Dress like a woman. Why will a man like to look like a woman? Why will a woman like to look like a man? It is chameleon spirit. It is the spirit of compromise. That is the emphasis of that scripture. The spirit of compromise that crept into the church. Suddenly, a church that was known for holiness, women now began to be wearing men's clothes. It is spiritually telling the spiritual people that the spirit of compromise has taken over the church. Gospel according to nature. I preached that before. Natural things tell us spiritual things. Do you know that it is only not only the garment you put on? Go to verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 22. See what he said. He said, thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. If you have a farm, that section, the section of farm that you want to plant maize, plant only maize. Don't plant maize here. The next place is yam. The next place is cassava. The next one, ugu. The next one, okra. The next one, rice. Where's your farm? That's your farm. What are you farming? I farm, and what? Verse 10. He said, also, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Can you see? Can you see? Plowing there, you are supposed to have two oxes, isn't it? Eh? You put the yoke so that they move at the same pace. Then, the whatever it is, the tiller behind, and they are going. He said, don't use an ox. And don't use a cow. If you want to use cow, use two cows. If you want to use ox, use two ox. Don't mix them together. The reason is simple. The endurance of one is different from the endurance of the other. The intelligence of one is different from the intelligence of the other. The two of them will not agree. There will be confusion. This one won't go forward. This one won't go forward. Because their reasoning is not at the same level. There will be confusion. What will be the product of that farm? The farm will be jaga-jaga. 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 There will be fight from beginning till evening. Because they can't agree. Verse 11. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts as of woolen and linen together. Why will God be so interested to that level? Don't wear a garment. That is, if you want to wear cotton, let the whole cloth be cotton. Why will one part be cotton? The other one, na linen. The other one, na wool. Okay, you jam wool and cotton together. When you want iron them, now the same level of heat you can feel apply for wool and cotton. And if you want iron them. Who can beat the wisdom of God? You see? Why will God be interested in that? It is not the cloth he's interested in. It is the spirit that produces that. It's a compromising spirit that will invent that type of cloth. Because you are supposed to know the effect of mixing it together. You want to wear wool, wear wool. You want to wear cotton, wear cotton. You want to wear linen, wear linen. You want to wear bath, wear bath. Just imagine a sister wearing one leg flat shoe and the other one high heel. What come up we see now? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He repeated it. The same thing in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 19. Praise God. And that is the same reason why he gave us the parable of the wheat and tares in Matthew 13 from verse 24. The parable of wheat and tares. What does it say? That parable, the owner of that farm went and planted good seed. While men slept, the enemy came and planted another type of seed there. He planted tares. You see? Why did he say an enemy did it? Because the enemy knows the effect of planting tares together with wheat. That is the reason why evil farmers, he said, let them all grow together. He said, at the end time, he will send his reapers. There must be separation. Church, there must be separation in the church of Jesus Christ. There must be, hallelujah, there must be separation. Praise the Lord. That's the reason why every farmer that has a farm, all of us, we come from one village or the other. We know about manual farming. We know that in every community, a farming community, there is a season for weeding. There is a season for weeding. If you don't go and weed, the original thing you planted will not grow properly. All the power, nourishment, tares, we go and collect them. So the real seed will grow kwashoko because it didn't have enough nourishment. The tares that were planted there will collect all the nourishment. And they are useless. They are not useful to you. They are not useful to the church. They are not useful to the kingdom. They are just there to trouble the real seed of God in the church. Tares, they are talking about the composition of the church of Jesus Christ. And every true church must make it uncomfortable for tares to stay in that church. Every church, every pastor, every minister, you must watch out for tares who will come to disturb the spiritual growth of the real seed. Don't mix the two together. That's why the doctrine of it doesn't matter is a compromising spirit. It doesn't matter. Let everybody come. Everybody cannot come to this farm. Every seed cannot come to a farm. You can't sow every type of seed in a farm. It is forbidden. The church of Jesus Christ is likened to a farm. He called it the vineyard. A place where seeds are planted and cultivated. He said, don't plant diverse kind of seed in the same farm. The church of Jesus Christ cannot have the worldly system and spiritual system mixed together. It is a spirit of compromise. It will bring death to the church. Therefore, there must be separation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There must be. We are not to conform to this world. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, the Lord was talking to that church age, how he hated those who hold on to the doctrine of Balaam. What is the doctrine of Balaam? It's in Numbers chapter 25. Hallelujah. We know the story. Doctrine of Balaam. Balaam. Inspired by the devil. The quest to make riches by all means, using his gift. What did he do? When he could not curse them, as Balak offered him money to do. What did he do? He advised Balak, that unbelieving king, This is how you should do it. If you are going to curse these children of Israel, you cannot curse them, because God told me that whom he has blessed, you cannot curse. Do you know that? You know, no man can curse you. How many people has God blessed here? Put down your hand. No, do you really mean you know you are blessed? You know you are blessed. You know you are blessed. So if you leave church today and somebody say, over my dead body, you will never prosper. What will you say? I will laugh and go away. Because you have prepared your death sentence. Since I must prosper, because whom God has blessed, no man can curse. And you say, over my dead body, will you prosper? So, if you say that, I will say, amen. Because you will die. Amen. No true child of God can be cursed. Balaam knew that. He said, but let me tell you, if you want to deal with a true child of God, let me tell you what you should do. What you should do is, get that child of God to be in problem with God. That is the doctrine of Balaam. Just get that one. Get him. Get her. To have problem with God. How? Get him or her to break a law of God. Once you can get him or her to break a law of God, God himself will come and deal with them. Let me tell you how you will do it. You know, for a long time they have been in the wilderness. So they never see naked women before because they are very strong. They never see people dancing and shaking like that before. Prepare a feast. And invite them. Tell them we are one. Other people have been fighting them. Any nation that fought Israel on their journey in the wilderness, Israel will defeat them. That's why Balak, the king of the Amalekites, he was scared. How will I deal with these people? I don't want them to pass through my land because I know what they will cause here. And so, under the advice of Balaam, he organized a feast and invited the children of Israel. Come, we will offer you drink and wine. We are one. You know our history, where we are coming from. You know, and then just come and relax. Then he dressed up his fine girls with pointed breasts, beta bum bum, laps, just cover. Then kept them. Small time, they started singing Awilo. Makosa. 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 And the children of Israel saw. They see for the first time in 40 years. Women shaking. Tiki, 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 tiki. And you know that it is planned for them. So you know the type of dance they will dance. And the children of Israel look. He said, look, Balaam, Moses, Joshua, all of you, now, look, we are all brethren. What is it now? Just a little, just one night, we could just dance. Tear! Balak said, no, but take anyone you like. Free, it's free. Take anyone you like. They took and then messed up themselves that night. And God got angry. That night, 24,000 of them died. What Balaam could not achieve by cursing them, he achieved through that doctrine. 24,000 children of God, under the hand of God himself, they died. He killed them out of anger. How do you read the Bible, compromising Christian? What do you learn from the stories in the Bible anytime you study Bible? The life that you live shows whether you understand what is written in this book, Bible. God is no respecter of persons. After all he spoke concerning Moses, one mistake Moses did, he decided to use him for example to tell the whole world he is no respecter of persons. Moses did not enter the promised land. What of you? Would you fear? So you understand why Apostle Paul said, walk your salvation with fear and trembling. Because he has read what happened to them in the past. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No matter what, that's what I'm saying. Ministers, we are supposed to be watchmen in the vineyard of the Lord. What are you watching? Watch any strange spirit that will try to creep into this place. God knows concerning doctrine here in this church, we cannot be faulted. Satan knows. He knows. When Apostle Paul said, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. People don't know what that means. Watch. Watch what? Every preacher that comes to this church, they are preaching. Hallelujah. All of you that come here to preach, whether it is in your prayer group, Sunday school, any time at all, you are the one I am watching more than anybody else in this church. Be informed. How? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How? Amen. Your doctrine, not only you, all the ministers that God is using in this ministry, you are the ones my eyes shine, they look you one by one. Why? I know better. Hallelujah. No matter, your doctrine, your revelation may be perfect, correct, but I hope your life too is matching what you are preaching. If not, you are a false preacher. You are false. And we must not allow any false preacher in this church. Because the life that we live preach louder than the message we preach at the altar. That's the truth. 30 years in this ministry. Who in this church will tell me I have ever collected copper from you deceitfully? Or even not deceitfully, I have ever met you say, Brother Nancy, I have a need. Please help me. Since this church started. And don't think that I am rich. Since 1998, that I became pastor of this church, I have been on trial till now. All my businesses were closed. But I knew better. I told Satan, I know why you are doing that. I have my mates that are in positions everywhere that I could go to. But I know if I go, he will go and attack it. I told him, you can close the door of my business, but you can never Satan, you can never close the door into the kingdom. Like that heaven, I will enter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm saying it. I'm saying it boldly. And I expect every preacher in this church to be able to stand here too and say the same thing. If you say, cannot say it, you're a hypocrite preacher. You're a hypocrite minister. Minister that will tell you, bring money for me to go and pray for you. He's anointed. But the anointing on him is a false anointing. Because the Bible tells us, freely we have received, freely we will minister. If you charge before you pray, you are false. And why will a preacher do that? It is a chameleon spirit. Hunger make an offer bear him again. He bend the corner and compromise a little. And make shipwreck of your faith. Praise God. What type of a preacher are you? They sent for me. I went with my wife somewhere. She was telling me later on, they came and met her. To go and preach in a church. And they were preparing the type of offering that they will give me, because all ministers that go to that church to preach, they task their members, you know, on what they will give the preacher. The friend of mine is a general in the Air Force that was in charge, that invited me to go and preach to them there. He told me later, he said, they came to him, sir, so what are we going to package for this visiting minister? He said, he laughed, he said, ah, no, be that kind of pastor, be this one where they come. What is your own testimony outside this church? Somebody who is not a member of this church, he knows that I'm not that type that will go and preach so that you will raise offering for me. Spirit of compromise. Let any girl in this church tell me, or outside this church, because they will hear this message wherever the tape will go, tell me that I have ever winked my eye on her, seducing her, and tell her, I like you, I like the way they work. Then curse me, with all I know, descend to that level, and chase a woman, then curse me, with all I know, descend to that level, and fornicate, and commit adultery, as Zubapa.